After 20 years. Chapter 1. A 20-year appointment. The policeman made his rounds up the avenue in an impressive way. His impressiveness was habitual and not for show, for there were few people around. The time was barely 10 o'clock at night, but chilly gusts of wind with a taste of rain in them had driven most people indoors. The cop tested doors as he went to make sure they were locked. He twirled his club like a master in martial arts. He turned now and then to cast his watchful eye down the broad street. The officer, with his large form and confident walk, made a fine picture of a guardian of the peace. His assigned area was one where most shops closed early at night. Now and then, a person might see the lights of a liquor store or an all-night small restaurant. But the majority of the doors belonged to business owners who had already gone home several hours ago. About halfway down one block, the policeman suddenly slowed his pace. In the doorway of a dark entrance to a hardware store, a man leaned. He had an unlit cigarette in his mouth. As the policeman walked up to him, the loiterer spoke quickly.
"It's all right, officer," he said reassuringly. "I'm just waiting for a friend. We made an appointment 20 years ago. Sounds a little funny to you, doesn't it? Well, I'll explain it to you if you'd like to make certain everything is all right. About that long ago, there used to be a restaurant where this store stands. Big Joe Brady's Restaurant."
"Until 5 years ago," said the policeman. "It was torn down then."
The man in the doorway struck a match and lit his cigarette. The light showed a pale, square-jawed face with keen eyes and a little white scar near his right eyebrow. He had a diamond pin in his scarf.
"20 years ago tonight," said the man, "I ate here at Big Joe Brady's with Jimmy Wells, my best friend, and the best guy in the world. He and I were raised here in New York just like two brothers together. I was 18 and Jimmy was 20. The next morning, I was to go out to the West to make my fortune. You couldn't have dragged Jimmy out of New York. He thought it was the only place on earth. Well, we agreed that night that we would meet here again exactly 20 years from that date and time, no matter what our conditions might be or from what distance we might have to come. We figured that in 20 years, each of us ought to have our destiny worked out and our fortunes made, whatever they were going to be."
"It sounds pretty interesting," said the policeman. "But it seems to me that you have had a rather long time between meetings. Haven't you heard from your friend since you left?"
"Well, yes. For a time we wrote to each other," said the man. "But after a year or two, we lost track of each other. You see, the West is a pretty big place, and I kept moving around pretty frequently. But I know Jimmy will meet me here if he's alive, for he always was the most loyal friend in the world. He'll never forget. I came 1,000 miles to stand in this door tonight, and it's worth it if my old friend turns up."
The waiting man pulled out an expensive watch. Small diamonds in the wristband sparkled in the faint light of a street lamp.
3 minutes to 10,
he announced.
"It was exactly 10 o'clock when we parted here at the restaurant door, 20 years ago."
"You did pretty well out in the West, didn't you?" asked the policeman.
"You bet. I hope Jimmy has done half as well. He was a little lazy, though, even if he was a good fellow. I've had to compete with some very smart men to make my fortune. A man can get lazy in New York. It takes the West to put a competitive edge on him.
The policeman twirled his club and took a step or two. I'll be on my way. Hope your friend comes around all right. Are you going to leave if he doesn't show up exactly on time?
No way, said the other. I'll give him half an hour at least. If Jimmy is alive on Earth, he'll be here by that time. So long, officer.
Good night, sir, said the policeman, passing down the street, trying doors as he went. There was now a slight cold rain falling, and the wind had become stronger, so now it blew steadily. The few pedestrians on the streets hurried gloomily and silently along, with their coat collars turned high and their hands in their pockets. And in the door of the hardware store, the man who had come 1,000 miles to keep an appointment with his boyhood friend, no matter how ridiculous it seemed, smoked his cigarette and waited. About 20 minutes he waited, and then a tall man in a long overcoat, with the collar turned up to his ears, hurried across from the opposite side of the street. He went directly to the waiting man.
Is that you, Bob? He asked doubtfully.
Is that you? Jimmy Wells?
Cried the man in the door.
Incredible!
Exclaimed the new arrival, grasping both the other's hands with his own.
It's Bob, true to his word. I was certain I'd find you here if you were still in existence. Well, well, well. 20 years is a long time. The old restaurant is gone, Bob. I wish it had lasted so we could have had another dinner there. How has the West treated you, old man?
Excellent. It has given me everything I asked it for. You've changed lots, Jimmy. I never thought you were so tall. You're quite a few centimeters taller than I remember.
Oh, I grew a bit after I was 20.
Doing well in New York, Jimmy?
So-so. I have a position in one of the city departments. Come on, Bob. We'll go around to a place I know of and have a good long talk about old times.
The two men started up the street, arm in arm. The man from the West had become excited by success. He was beginning to tell the story of his career. The other, hidden in his overcoat, listened with interest. At the corner stood a drugstore, brilliant with electric lights. When they came into this light, each of them turned at the same time to look upon the other's face. The man from the West stopped suddenly and released his arm.
You're not Jimmy Wells,
he snapped.
20 years is a long time, but not long enough to change a man's nose from long and thin to short and wide.
But it sometimes changes a good man into a bad one, said the tall man. You've been under arrest for 10 minutes, Silky Bob. The Chicago Police Department thought you would come to New York. They want to have a chat with you. You'll come quietly, won't you? That's the smart thing to do. Now, before we go on to the police station, here's a note I was asked to hand you. You may read it here at the window. It's from Police Officer Wells.
The man from the West unfolded the little piece of paper handed to him. His hand was steady when he began to read, but it trembled a little by the time he had finished. The note was rather short.
Bob, I was at the appointed place on time. When you struck the match to light your cigar, I saw it was the face of the man wanted in Chicago. Somehow I couldn't do it myself, so I went around and got a plainclothes man to do the job. Jimmy.